Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I'll tell you, the songs we sang this morning about God moving, and we need to move, and I believe God is moving in our midst. And I think he's also getting the church moving. So I think some of the things that we're wanting him to move, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to move, but I'm going to move through you. You know, so a lot of that movement is going to be through us that he's going to be doing. We also sang a song that said, I will sing in the middle of the storm. Boy, there's a storm raging out there, isn't it? Sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. We're going to talk about a little bit about that today, about what's going on and about the tragedy of the life ending of George Floyd, how horrific and sickening. A miscarriage of justice. The people that's supposed to be able to protect you and watch you begins to operate in a different spirit. If you watched that on TV and wasn't moved to have some righteous indignation to see a man beg for his life, plead for his life, and tell him that he can't breathe, and even when he's unconscious, he's still laying in that position for 3 more minutes. There is an injustice, but there is a calling to the church. And I'd like for Pastor John to come up. I want you to know that we are united in the faith in Jesus Christ, and we're brothers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Come on, come on. Brother, I want you to just share whatever you want on your heart. Share whatever's on your heart.
Yeah. I just want to share a few things as, you know, what's going on in Minnesota and the things that, you know, how many know the church stands for righteous and justice? You know, and it's not that black lives matter. All lives matter. You know, and as a black man, you know, sure, I'm concerned because I have grandsons. I have sons. You know, but just because one cop did some injustice, all of them are not unjust, okay? But as the church, we have to look through this through the eyes of the kingdom, through the eyes of God, you know. And the underlying current of what's going on is the influence of the evil who separate and divide God's people. Mm-hmm. Amen? And Jesus prayed a prayer. He said he prayed a prayer in John 17 that we would be what? One. But also in that same chapter, he prayed another prayer for us. And I want to read this to you, okay? It's in John 17, starting at verse 15, okay? And it says, for I have given, excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter, okay? 17, there we go. He says in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. You know, and similar to what Pastor Terry just said, we pray and ask God, but God has already put it in the world that the church should have influence, that we're what? Salt and we're light, okay? Now listen to what he's saying. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I just want to share just a little bit about the evil one, the influence of the evil one. What we have to understand as a church, it's not a black church, it's not a white church, it's not a Hispanic church, it's not a Puerto Rican church. How many know the church consists of all kinds of people? Amen? Now, just because I'm just a little bit darker than you, how many know that don't separate us? You know, and what we have to understand as a church, it is a heart matter. It's not just a skin color, it's the heart matter. You know, and all men need to know, evil comes from the heart. And what we have to understand as a church is that we have to make a difference by showing that we are not like the world. The problem with the church is that we're more like the world than the world is like the church. And the world looks at us and say, well, you know, if they're doing that, so why do I need a church? But we need to be a difference. We need to make a difference by showing the love of God. Even in what's going on, people protest. And last night I saw something. Well, I don't know if you caught this or not, but it was all kind of races protesting. It wasn't just the black. It wasn't just the white. It wasn't just the Hispanic. It was all kinds of people. And guess what? All kinds of people are in God's kingdom. But while the church, we want to just sit back and pray. But how many know we got to get active? Not going out, getting on a soapbox, preaching hate crimes. Amen. I'm not talking about that. There is a way to do it. Jesus said, be humble as doves, but wise as serpents. What is he saying? We got to be wise in what we're doing. We don't have to go out acting crazy and hollering hate crimes. Amen. I mean, to know that we can just smooth our way in there with the love of God and begin to stand for what? Justice and righteous. Amen. So what I want to encourage the church is, and I haven't, you know, I can honestly say that I've been here. I think my wife is here. We've been here for about 15 years, maybe. 15. But anyway, 15 maybe. I don't know. What was Miss Rita? About 15, Miss Rita. Okay. She was a secretary when we came here, so okay. So 15 years, and I can honestly say this from my heart, and God is my witness. I've never heard a racial slur from anybody in this church. Now, you clapping, but let me flip this side now. I have black brothers that have told me, well, you're not part of us because you go to that white church. See, you got to understand, people are people. Black, white, blue, or green, they're people. You got some people that are, I don't want to, just don't take this to bad, ignorant in some ways. And you got some people that are prejudiced in some ways. But all people are not like that. And I'm telling you, I can honestly say that. But getting back to what I'm sharing here, let's not let the enemy bring division. Because that's what he want to do. We want to address, we want to stand for justice, but we want to do it the right way. You know, and people say black lives matter, white lives matter. I'm here to tell you that all human beings matter. They have a soul. Amen? I don't want to get too excited. But Jesus prayed that prayer. He said, keep them from the evil one, the influence of what's going on in our day. The enemy want to conquer and divide, but he's a liar. Amen? We're going to stand for righteous and justice, but we're going to do it the right way. We're not spearing out, well, you know, that's a white man. Well, that's a black man. It don't matter. How many know? It does matter. Amen? It does matter. And we are, Jesus said this. He said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples. That you have love for one another. And see, we think it's going to take a whole nation, but how many know it's going to take those that are sincere from their hearts to cry out on behalf of what's going on and cry out for justice. Amen? And I don't like people taking lives. I don't like it. No one likes it. I'm moved just like you are, but we got to keep our eyes open. We can't stick our head in the sand and say, oh, well, that's another one. Nope. We got to begin to address it in the right way. And the right way is asking God for his wisdom and be willing to make ourselves available to stand up for what's right. Amen? You know, not just while we're in the church, but when we're in Walmart. If we see injustice happening, we can call 911. Amen? Or we can take our cell phones and we can film what's happening. I mean, we got it all on media now. I mean, everything is free now. But as a church, we can no longer just sit back and pray our prayers in these four walls, but not wanting to get engaged in what we're praying about. See, whether you realize it or not, the church is responsible for what happens in this earth. He gave the earth to us. And when God created Adam, he created him to rule and have dominion in the earth. Now, do we go out abusing? No, we don't abuse it. We should be the ones that rightly handle authority. And that's what Jesus, he prayed. He said, I pray that you keep them from the evil one. Don't let them be influenced by what's happening in the culture. Because the word of God teaches us that we overcome evil by doing good. We overcome evil by doing
good.
Amen? See, we flip it. We don't go acting evil just because we begin to do good. And how many know sometimes good is not acceptable sometimes because good comes out with the truth. Amen? But one more thing, and I'm going to sit down, okay? My 10 minutes about gone. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. I just want to honor time because I know he got some words he want to share. But the other thing that, as I was praying too, says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers, darkness of this age. You know, and we gotta wise up. We're in an age that's full of what? Technology, the media. And I mean, you know, you gotta be wise. Sometimes them guys will pump things up that ain't really there. See, so you gotta have some discernment. How many know God said we have the spirit of discernment? We gotta begin to discern. That's why the spirit of God, people take for granted the spirit of God that's in the church. This is why we can't no longer play with this. We can't no longer. You say, well, I've never been playing with it. Yeah, I still remember that word, quit fiddling around. Get up and let's get going. See, God was preparing us. See, he let us know, quit fiddling around, quit playing around. This is a heart thing. Get in my presence. See, if you keep trying to work this thing the way the world work it, you're not going to see the evidence of what Jesus said would happen. We got to come out of this world. Come out of it. Well, you saying I can't have fun? No, that ain't the world. The world's way of doing things. The order. The system of this world. And that's what Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. In other words, don't be squeezed into the mold of this world. See, the world has a way of doing things that the church shouldn't even adapt to. And I know that people don't want to hear that in this day and time. They don't want to hear the word sanctification, being set apart. You know, but the righteousness of God is the standard of God. It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. And his standard is what? Sanctification. Separating from this world, doing things in this, we call it worldly stuff. It will take your lunch and eat it too. And give you the bag back waiting for more. It will. That's why Paul said, don't let the world squeeze you into his way of doing things. Amen? So we wrestle not against. This is not a flesh and blood battle that we're seeing. It is a spiritual battle. And we got to rise up in the Spirit of God and begin to hate what God hates, love what God loves. Amen? You know, whether it is racism, whatever it is, if it's going against the Word of God, I mean, you know, we got to take a stand against it. Amen? So I love you. I just want to encourage you. And I just want to say, we don't need to let this divide the church. See, and I can tell you some things that you know, the blacks want to be with the blacks, the white want to be with the whites, but how many know that I'm colorblind? I don't see that. All I see is the human race. And that's what we need to stand for. Amen? All lives matter. Because Jesus died for every one of us. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the everlasting life is knowing him. He's made a way for us to know him. So I thank you for this time, Pastor Terry. And you know, and remember this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. See, and this is what we're seeing is wickedness. I'm not saying that everybody is wicked on the police force. Please don't take that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are some evil people everywhere. And this is why it's so important that we be the church, so that we can begin to do what? Get them transformed. Get them converted to God. Amen? That's why God wants you to be the light, so you can lead them out of darkness. But if we're doing the same thing that they're doing, how many know we can't lead them out of darkness? So it's a matter of the heart. Revival is starting, but it's starting in a way that we can't figure it out. And what we think revival is just running around, hollering, shouting, having a good time. That's good. But revival's about changing your heart back to the God that created you, to where you're so on fire and so passionate about God, no one have to tell you to raise your hand. You come in with a praise on. Amen? Nobody have to tell you to pray. I pray because I want to be in his presence. See, that's revival. See, but out of that, we can begin to shout hallelujah. We can see the awe of God. He's just awed. My God, did you see what he did today? And it's no surprise, because what? We're expecting God to what? Move.
Amen.
Move, and he's going to move. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I trust you got something out of that. Just want to give you a little encouragement, a little bit of exaltation. Amen. Don't let this evil influence you. Amen. But we can in turn influence it by the presence of God. God bless you.
Amen. Before I start, do I have your permission to take about 10 minutes beyond 11:30? If you need to leave, I understand. You're not going to upset me or bother me. You know, we have to look at this thing scripturally from God's perspective, from his point of view, from the Word of God, and led by the Spirit of God, to be able to impact a society that has gone in total unrest and chaos. And we have to be the ones that are going to be able to bring forth the words of God by the power of the Spirit of God. And we want to talk about that just for a moment or two, but I want to address this thing concerning protest. Protest are, it's actually the hallmark of our country. It's, you know, to be able to protest in a peaceful way. The Constitution says we can peacefully protest and bring our grievances to the government. And but that has to be done in a mannerly way, peaceful protest. A lot of people are doing that. We need to do that. We need to be able to protest what we have seen and what we have witnessed and what we see taking place in our society. But protest, when it starts turning into riots, then it becomes a mob. It's not. Then that violates everything about the Constitution, because mob doesn't rule here. Mob should not rule. Riots and burning down things, and I understand the anger. I understand all of that. I really do. I understand the parts, and I know that a lot of the protesters that are they're doing it right are not involved in what's been done wrong. But and some of them are coming from out of town and out of state and all that kind of stuff. But we cannot have anarchy ruling. We cannot have this place where there is a system that is without law and order. All policemen are not evil, but there is some evil that in some policemen. All protesters are not evil. Are you hearing me? You know, so the thing is, we have to be a people that are raising the standard of God. You know, because he said, when the enemy does come in like a flood, there's a standard of God that's being raised up. We are that standard. The church, the people of God, is that standard. And when we participate in things that are not of God, and that's like if you're involved in a peaceful protest anytime, I'm not against that. If you are involved in a peaceful protest and that protest becomes violent, leave that protest. Leave it. Don't be in the midst of people that are going to rule the roost with rioting, looting, burning, and destruction. Leave it. You're not going to change it. Leave it. Then let the law and order come in and take care of the violators. Y'all hear me? See, there is a way to do what God wants us to do, but what happens a lot of times, and what's happening here, is a lot of times we can protest, and our protest will actually, while we're doing it, our protest can actually be against the people who agree with us. I'm sure that every car that was burned that belonged to another person, every business that was burned and destroyed that belonged to somebody else, if you were to ask them about what happened, I'll guarantee you they would say, that's disgusting, that's wrong, it's an injustice that happened to this man. They'll agree with you. But yet, what happened? His life was taken. Their life and livelihood is being destroyed. See, you will not overcome evil with evil. The Word of God tells us, and Pastor John has mentioned that we overcome evil. By the way, let me say this. This thing, we have to keep our focus on what needs to be focused upon, and needs to be focused upon Him. And then we need to rightly discern what it is that's happening. And I see a lot of people and hear a lot of people. Matter of fact, I got notified by another Christian. And that presentation from this other Christian said, when is the white church going to get it right? I don't go to a white church. Pastor John mentioned it, and we don't have white church, black church, and Hispanic church. We don't have that. That is not the church of God. The church of God is all mankind. So this person was saying, if the white church just does it right, we will, watch this, end racism. That's not going to happen. That's the wrong battle. You're not going to end racism. You're not going to end injustice. You're not going to do away with evil. That's the wrong battle. What is the right battle? The right battle is to overcome evil, overcome racism, overcome injustice. That's the reason he alludes to us as being overcomers. We are more than conquerors. Evil is still present. No matter how much is going to be burned, no matter how much rioting is going to happen, no matter how much looting is going to be done, evil will still be present. They have not eliminated evil. That's the reason Jesus' prayer, as he alluded to, is, you know, keep them from the evil one. You know, so what are we going to do? We have to make sure that our protest about injustice doesn't turn within itself and become unjust. You've helped nobody. So what is the call of God? Now, I looked at this thing and I'm saying, God, you are after the church's attention. Put us in our houses, not even being together. Put us in our homes alone, isolated for a period of time. And then in the midst of all of that, this happens. Why is that? God is after the attention of the church. We have to redefine our engagement. It has to be totally redefined. Well, you know, Pastor, I pray. Well, that ain't all you can do. That ain't all you're supposed to do. And by the way, your prayer should be, listen to this, your prayer should be fervent. It should have passion in it. And it should be effective. What does that mean? It lines up with God. It can't be your agenda. It can't be your set of prayer things that we need to pray for. No, effective prayer is praying what God is praying. Saying what God is saying. Doing what God is doing. So we have that. So what do you see in this? So we redefine our engagement. How do we redefine it? Well, we look into the Word of God and say, well, what happens? What do we need to do? Well, here it is in Isaiah chapter 60, one of my favorite passages. Arise, shine, for your light is coming. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, why is that? Then the next verse 2 says, For behold, I want you to pause and look at this. I want you to pause and see this. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And he's telling us that there's going to be darkness that's going to cover the earth. That's happening. Deep darkness over the people. He said, but the Lord has risen upon you. See, we cannot allow our light, our presence of God that we carry and who we are in him, we cannot allow that to be put under the fold of darkness and concealed with a basket. The church has to be activated to the place that we will know our God and do great exploits. That's what the Bible says in the book of Daniel. That they shall know their God and do great. Well, you know, why aren't we doing great exploits? Why aren't the great deeds that comes from the God of the people of God? Why is it not being seen as much as it should be? It's because we don't know God. They that know their God, there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know him. There's a lot of people that are born again because they knew God as Savior, but they don't know him any other way. So they don't know their God, so therefore we cannot do great exploits. We cannot do strong things of the Lord because there's an unknowing of who he is. We know about him. We don't know who he really is. He goes on and said about this rising glory, because the glory of God is shining upon us. He said, the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. His glory will appear upon you. Where? In the middle of darkness. In the middle of gross darkness. In the middle of darkness on all the people. He said, arise, which means get up. So the church is being summoned. God is calling upon. We have done messages. Honestly, I'm amazed at how the Holy Spirit works. I really am. We talked about seeing God from through different lenses, seeing things, and not look at things with the world's view. We talked about chaos, that God's calling us in the midst of chaos. God has been setting this thing up the whole time, getting us ready to be a people that are going to know who He is and going to do something about it in the earth. Know who He is and going to do something about it. See, we need to start having the conversations that are kingdom. Amen. Kingdom conversations, not chaos conversations. It doesn't take a genius to see what's wrong. Yes, sir. But it takes somebody that's going to stand strong in the midst of the chaos and what they see wrong and be the intercessor. Be the one that's going to stand in the gap and going to herald what God is saying. That's the ways of God. Well, what's God say that we need to do? Micah says this. He has shown you, O man, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Watch this. Act justly. Do justice. Act justly. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. Act justly. Do the right things. Love mercy. In other words, as you do the right things, you have the love of mercy in you. And then you also walk humbly before your God. He said, these are the three things that I'm requiring of you. You know, when you look at that, you begin to try to understand what's going on. What do you need to do? How does that need to be done? Over in Jeremiah, you know, Pastor John said, he talks about justice and righteousness. Do you know the Bible says two or three times about justice and righteousness? And it says this about it. It is the foundation of His throne. His sovereignty. You know, underneath His throne is justice and righteousness. So you can't cry out for justice and act unrighteously. It doesn't work that way. So the foundation of where He sits in His power is justice and righteousness. See, we cry out for the justice and then act unrighteously. It's out of balance. It's not the way of God. Jeremiah says this about justice. He said, do justice and righteousness. Watch this. And deliver from the hand of the oppressor he who has been robbed. We through justice and righteousness, both of them, we're going to be able to deliver people from the oppressor. Why? Because we're going to bring the justice and we're going to bring the righteousness and we're going to bring the word of God. And he says this. Do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place. Well, I don't have time to break that out, but I'm telling you, when you look at that, God has given specific. And this is in the course of the scripture of life. This is what He was telling the Hebrew people. This is what I'm requiring of you. This is what I want you to do. James says it this way. He said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves by not doing it. You're deceived. If you're just going to think you're going to hear the word and not take action on it, you're deceived. He goes on and says this. Consider, if you consider yourself to be religious and you do not take, and you do not keep a tight rein on your tongue, you deceive yourself. Well, I'm a Christian. I can just say what I want. No, not according to this scripture. That's when you need to make sure what you're saying is what God's saying. And you do not keep a tight rein on your tongue. You deceive. You're deceived. Watch this. Your religion is worthless. If you consider yourself a religious person and you're always doing this, your religion is absolutely worthless. We need to be saying what God is saying. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Religion that God our Father accepts is pure, faultless to this. Faultless. Look after the orphans, widows in their distress. And listen to this one. And keep yourself from being polluted by the world. If your religion does not keep you from being polluted by what's going on in the world, then your religion is worthless. I'm telling you, God is calling. God is calling His church to redefine what we're doing. I got so much more, but to share this thing about Pentecost, because today is the day of Pentecost. Jesus told them, He said, I want you to go. He told this to 500 people, but only 120 showed up. Amen. Only 120 felt the need to follow Jesus' words. He said, I want you to go and meet, I want you to go into here in this upper room. And He said, you're going to be baptized. They're already born again. They already have the Spirit of God. This is in Acts, by the way. He's already died. Listen, and He's been visiting them for about 40 days, and then He tells them this. He said, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall, listen to this, and you shall be My witnesses. That word for witness here means martyrs. It means you'll be willing to die for what I tell you to go do. You'll be willing to die for what I tell you to go say. That's martyr. That's a witness. See, a witness are those people that are saying something that they know has happened. And I've seen it happen. He says, you're going to be My witness. And He tells you throughout all the world. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, watch this. This is interesting. It's so good. It really is to when God begins to just unwrap things for you. When the day of Pentecost came, all of them were together in one accord in one place. In one accord. That word accord means to be properly aligned with one another in God's cause. Properly aligned with one another in God's cause. Who are you not properly aligned with? You see, it's not just us and Him. It's us and Him and you and I. We have to be properly aligned with Him and properly aligned with each other. This thing is properly aligned with each other in one place. That was the landing strip for the Holy Spirit. The noise came, a violent wind, rushing wind, and it filled the house, and they were all sitting, and there appeared tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and rested over each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this, and they began to speak with tongues. They began to speak in another language that they had not learned, and the people of 15 different nations that was there heard what they were saying and understood what they were saying because the power of the Holy Spirit gave them a voice to speak before the people. So what is this then? This is an understanding that we have the Spirit of God in us, but we need the Spirit of God upon us. That's the reason in Isaiah it says, the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you and be seen. The glory of the Lord is his character. When they look at you, do they see the character of God? So you begin to see that God's orchestrating this whole thing for us to become exactly what he destined for us to be, to impact people. There's so much more, but this thing about Pentecost being in a place that I am properly aligned with you, and I'm properly aligned with God, and that the Holy Spirit comes to give us something so that we can be empowered to be able to go do something in a world of chaos, and that we would be able to say with power and authority what God is saying, because we're being led by the Holy Spirit, because he is given the unction. That's how we can live justly. That's how we can love mercy. And that's how we can walk humbly before our God. That's how we can do it. You may feel weak, just like I feel just like I'm weak, can't do anything. But you know, in our weakness, he shows his strength. He's strong. He gets the glory. So what do? Well, number one, you don't rely on your skin color to say what God's saying. You don't rely on your political view. You don't rely on your denomination. You don't rely on your, you don't rely on that. You rely upon the very presence, word of God, and the Spirit of God to be able to go and make the difference that we're all supposed to make. Now, evil, I don't have time to talk about it. Evil is here. The Bible says that evil will not deliver those who practice it. So I don't have time to go through all that. But how does God say we should act? Justly, love mercy, and humbly. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Know the Word of God. Know God. And begin to be activated in this society that you can make a difference no matter what happens to you. That's being, I'm not afraid, right? And we talk about not being afraid. Okay, Pastor, what do I need to do? Pray fervently, number one. Contact your police chief, contact your county sheriff, contact your mayor, contact your governor, contact your House of Representatives, contact your senators. I don't know who they are. Get online and find out who they are. Well, I'd like for things just to be laid out on a platter. It ain't that easy. This is how you walk justly. Instead of saying, well, I'm needy, so just help me. No, go search. Go find out who these people are. Find out who is in your district, who is the authority, the senator, the representative in your district. And once you find that out, call. They got numbers. Call them. They got email addresses. Email them. They got addresses where they're located. Write them a letter. I'm sure everybody can do one of those, if not all of them. What do I need to say? Thank them for their service. Be a grateful person and thank them that they're there. Thank them for their position. You might not agree with what they're doing, but thank them and honor them and tell them that you're praying for them. What I need to do after that, then you go to asking questions. What do you have in place that's going to prevent what happened to George Floyd? What do you have in place? What are you doing that's going to prevent that from happening? Ask them. And then let them tell you. And then after that, you say, well, what else do you plan on doing? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, every one of you and me can do this very thing. What is that? That's being proactive. That's going to influence the leaders who can cause change to happen. What else do I need to say? You need to say, what actions do you have in place that's going to prevent riots and looting, and that is going to protect our community when it... You may say, well, it won't happen here. It's already in Greenville, South Carolina. Don't say it won't happen here. May be here tomorrow. Maybe you're here tonight. I don't know, but we're not going to be a fearful people. We're going to be taking action. This is some of the actions that we can take. Are y'all with me? There, like I said, there's so many more of the scriptures. There's so much more that we can share. But I'm telling you that God is calling his church. God is summoning his church. God is saying it is time for you to stand up, arise, and let my glory shine upon you. But if you're not his, that's not going to happen. You have to be his. You have to have a surrendered life to him. And if you've not done that, you need to do that. It's time to redesign our activity as a church. It's time to look at it and say, what can we do? And what can we do together? Now, after we close it, we're going to do that right now online. And I hope we can just spend a few more minutes together after we go offline. A few more minutes together just to pray. Now, if you need to go, you can. That's fine. But I want to pray first. Thank you guys for watching, joining in today. Understand that we have to be passionate about where we're going. We have to be passionate about our God and about the kingdom of God. And we have to know him so we can stand up and do great exploits. So, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the stirring this morning of your spirit. We thank you, God, that you're at work. And, Lord, we just ask you to guide us in the work that we're to do so that we can give you glory and impact this earth with your presence. In Jesus' name. All of you streamers, what I'd like for you to do is go to the website and click on, if you're a parent, click on the videos that we have for the little ones and just spend the time of worship and teaching as you go on fathersvineyard.org, and we have that available for you so you can be a part, so the kids can be a part of their messages and their worship as well. God bless you. I want you to stand to your feet. Brother Doug, would you come up and help pray, help carry this prayer? Can you do that? You can move from where you are. You can come here. If you need to go, I understand. But what we want to do is just go into a prayer time to pray for our nation, our country, to pray for the evil that is being demonstrated, for it to subside, and pray that God's people will begin to acknowledge how to overcome the evil with good. Amen. Doug, if you will, you just start us out.
Father, we give honor and praise to you for all you do for us. Just want to lift up each and every man, woman, boy, and girl here, that their heart would be receptive to what you have to say about our nation, about our state and cities. We ask you, Lord, that you will just touch deep down within our hearts. Cause us to be inspired to speak up when it's necessary and to hold our peace when it's necessary. You are our help, Lord, and we look to you, and you have asked us to look to the hill from which comes all of our help, and all of our help come from you. We're trusting, Lord, that you will lead and guide us through this time, and Lord, as evil men wax worse and worse, we as Christians need to lift up a standard, trust you, and to walk with you the way you call us to. Help us to trust in you. Have faith in you, Lord, and not in the elements of this world. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to grow strong in the faith and power and love with you, Lord. Touch deep down within us. Call us to be a people to be inspired during these times and these troubles. And Lord, we as church peoples and as Christians, Lord, that as we come together, you said in your word, Lord, that if we are your people, will just, Lord, we got to trust in you. But you said, Lord, if we, your people, would come unto you, Lord, and Lord, knew we need to turn from our wicked ways, our wicked thoughts, Lord, and to, then, Lord, you said you were here from heaven and you were here to land. Lord, let us pray. Let us seek your face. And Lord, let us get down on our knees and call out to you in reverence, in spirit and in truth, letting you know, Lord, how important it is, Lord, for the time for this coronavirus to disappear from this face. Mm-hmm. To not touch the lives of your people, Lord. It cannot touch the lives of your people. It cannot touch the spirit that lives in us and abides in us. Help us to grow. Help us to grow, Lord, each and every day in the power and the love of God, knowing that he is with us in everything that we do, in every move that we make, in every thought that's in our mind, that he is there. Faith will see us through. Thank you for all that you do for us, and we just praise you and magnify you and glorify you this day. And we lift up, Lord, our hearts and our hands to you today to say thank you for our lives, Lord. 300,000 people have died off of this face of this earth with coronavirus, and that including other sicknesses. But we that are here today are still here. And we need to lift up and say, we praise you for that. We praise you for our health and our well-being this day. Praise you for our good right sense before you this day in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you that we have the glorious privilege of coming before the Creator of all heaven and earth. Father, we just ask you now, we intercede for this nation. We ask you, Father, that this nation would begin to see the very move of God in their midst, that they would be able to see clearly good from evil, and that we would repent as a nation. And Lord, that we would repent for the shedding of innocent blood. We would repent for living in a way that is selfish and greedy. God, I ask you in Jesus' name to begin to mobilize us, mobilize your people in a way that has the strategy of heaven upon it. And Lord, that we would be able to walk in the path that you put before us through the Word of God and by your Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to protect the policemen, the law enforcement. We ask you, God, to protect them as they rise up against the lawlessness that is happening. And I ask you, Father, that you would protect the innocent protesters that are not involved, Lord. Just help them not be engaged, and protect them and their lives as well. Lord, we do need revival in your church, but we need reformation throughout the land. We need transformation throughout the entire land. Only you can do it. But God, we post ourselves and position ourselves in your strategy, in your word, to be used of you, that will make a difference in this land, that you would get glory, people would come to know you, and that, Lord, that we would overcome evil with good. Inspire us to do that. Direct us to do that. Empower us to do that for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you. We love you. Come back next week. Invite somebody, because we're open.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.